Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women over 50 across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They may make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing a very good friend of mine, the fabulous Rosie Harness. After a lifetime of working with complementary therapies, Rosie accidentally and magically rediscovered her passion for perfume at the age of 72, for goodness sake. This has changed the whole direction of her life. And in 2 years, Rosie has created a new business and a range of gorgeously global artisan perfumes that are being very well received. And I can say they're being very well received because my favourite perfume in my entire life is called Maroc, which comes from Rose's range. So Rosie, thank you as my friend for being willing to be interviewed on Creating Ripples. Can you tell us a bit about where you have come from and how you got to where you are today?
Hi there, Katie. Lovely to see you. I guess I came from... came to perfume from a long while ago. I was fortunate to have been brought up in the Fiji Islands, on top of a cliff overlooking the Pacific, and surrounded by gorgeous, sweet-smelling and exotic flowers. And I could often be seen early in the morning rushing across the dewy lawn before the sun got too hot and burying my nose in a gardenia's
at the back row. Wow.
And the frangipanis. And I think that I was very scent conscious at a very early age, because even now I realise that I cook with my nose, if so to speak.
Oh, gosh, that's really interesting, because most people, we say we eat with our eyes.
Yes.
But you cook with your nose.
I do, and I've only realised this over the years, that when something is cooking and it reaches a particular point of perfection, I can smell it, and
goodness,
if I go over that moment, then something changes. If I catch that moment, then the food is perfect. So
I didn't know that. All the years I've known you, I've never known that. When am I coming round for dinner next? I want to know. To taste perfection as well as the smell of perfection. Oh, scents can be really, really evocative, can't they? And they can take us instantly back to a memory, almost more quickly than anything, I think, scents.
Yes.
So how has that influenced you?
Well, I think since I've reignited my passion with perfume, which has taken a long time, because as a therapist, I really wasn't able to wear perfume because one isn't supposed to overwhelm the client, understandably. So I just forgot about perfume, really, all the years that I've been working. And it's been a revelation to me to reignite my passion and to be involved in perfume again, and to see how deeply it affects particularly women in a way that has really truly amazed me. It shouldn't have, but it has. That on such a deep level, it's such a primal level of connection, as you said, you know, in so many ways, and particularly that instant connection with the brain, with the old part of the brain, actually, that takes us immediately back to that memory, whichever one it is.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because smell, as well as being really evocative of certain moments and certain memories from our past, we also use it to attract the opposite sex on a very, as you say, a very primal kind of animal level. We use it to attract the opposite sex with pheromones. We also, people can tell if we're frightened because we excrete a different aroma, don't we? A different scent. Our body excretes a completely different scent if we're happy, if we're joyful, if we're fearful, if we're anxious. So smell is crucial to how we interact and relate to people. But with perfume being such a huge global industry and hugely competitive, how have you made your inroads into that market?
I really operate from a different level. As an artisan perfumer, although obviously it's good to make money. I operate from, a different level of creativity and passion and, I suppose, you know, I work with my hands. I'm an artisan. So I'm very deeply connected with what I do. And I do it from love and creativity, and I don't do it from, you know, the main factor which most global perfumes come from, which is to make money. And I think it shows, I think it shows in my perfume. And I think a lot of people are getting sick of the sameness of celebrity perfumes and the hollowness of a lot of perfumes that are just, I don't know, sort of, perhaps I'm being a bit unfair, but sort of cynically created, if you like. Because a lot of perfumes, if they become famous, they're instantly copied, you know, by the next person who wants to make money. And that, to me, is no fun at all, you know, to copy someone's perfume. To me, the joy is to get there done and dirty in my perfumes and create that perfume that I eventually go, yes.
Well, yes. Having spent most of my adult life never wearing perfume because I can never find one that really suited me, they all end up smelling like, well, something rather unpleasant. I probably better not say it on the interview, but something rather unpleasant. And I always felt I was missing out on part of my femininity. But some of them can be so incredibly overpowering and cloying that the perfume arrives half an hour before the person wearing it does, and it stays half an hour after the person wearing it has left. And that is hugely intrusive in somebody's personal space. So it is about the subtlety of the scent. So it's about creating that allure, isn't it? And that femininity and that sensuality. But you have to come, ideally, be in somebody's intimate space before you can really pick it up. I mean, that's the true gift of perfume, isn't it? It's that way of connecting on an intimate level with people. So what is it about your perfumes that sets them apart and makes them that really sensuous, luxurious, intimate experience rather than the mass media smelling of the person standing next to you?
Yes, I think it's a good point, Katie, because I think a lot of perfumes, a lot of women wear perfumes so that it defines their territory. A lot of perfumes about territory.
Yeah, it is.
And the larger your territory, the more the more smart you feel and the more, I don't know what the word is, but the more you more impression you make, you feel you make. So I like to create perfumes that are... I like to create a perfume, but when someone smells it, they don't go, oh yes, that's jasmine. I like it when they smell it and they go, and they get that look in their eyes where they actually don't quite know what it is they're smelling. So it takes them deeper into themselves. It takes them deeper into that experience. And so I like to create perfumes that are complex, and that you can't actually define them immediately, so that they are subtle. And when I see that look on someone's face, I think, yes, I've achieved that.
I said in the introduction that you came across perfumes magically. How did that happen?
Well, you know, I'm 54 now. I was 72 when I discovered perfume again, rediscovered it. And at my age, I wasn't actually going around hunting for a new business, as you can imagine. I didn't exactly have my slippers on, but...
I don't think you possess a pair of slippers, do you, Rosie? You never stop. I don't think you possess a pair of slippers. You never stop.
Thank you, Katie. So I was pretty happily still doing my therapy work, which I, you know, enjoyed. And one day I came across a book by Sally Hornsey, actually, called... Make Your Own Skincare. And because I have a very tropically skin-ravaged skin from, you know, my years of peeling and burning and peeling and burning, I wanted to make a cream that really, really worked. So I found this book, which was fantastic. But then, when I got to the end of it, I saw she'd written another book called Make Your Own Perfume, and something, when I saw that, just went, it wasn't a ping, it was more like a sort of a siren call. I thought, I've just got to have that book. So I bought it, and then I made the mistake, or not, of buying a whole lot of fragrances from the same company. And then my friends became my guinea pigs, and they were so complimentary and so enjoyed my perfumes. Then I did the exam, and then my my examiners were very complimentary and said it was the best perfume, student perfume, they'd ever received. So I had a lot of encouragement, and if I hadn't, I would have just, you know, had a bit of fun and that was it. But then, of course, you know, one thing leads to another.
As it does.
And then I was getting safety assessments done and trying to sort out all the percentages, which I eventually got help from my biochemist neighbour. Thank God.
He's a good man to know.
He was a good man to know. I couldn't believe my good luck. And so it was just that one thing was just, I felt as if I'd sort of hopped onto this magic carpet and that it was just whisking me here and whisking me there. And I was coming across all sorts of wonderful people on the way. It wasn't like I was searching for them. They were just there. So it had a lot of serendipity about it, which was the magical part. Mm. If I had had to slog at it, I would never have done it because it just kept remaining fun to me, and it was just a complete joy, really. So, yes, so that was the magical bit.
I have to say, being on the receiving end is a complete joy as well.
Because
now at the age of 56, I'm now wearing perfume again, which I love, and I always get really lovely comments whenever I wear your perfume. People say, oh, God, that's wonderful. You smell wonderful. What are you wearing? Because it is so distinctive. All your perfumes are distinctive. You can't, because they're not high street perfumes.
Yes.
They're not that mass brand.
Yes.
Where people do end up smelling a slight variation of the person standing next to them.
Yes.
You know, they are unique. And not only that, but you can smell the passion, your passion for what you do in your perfumes. Do you miss Fiji? Because the England, as lovely as it is not tropical.
Do you know, as I get older, I haven't been back since I was 15.
Oh my gosh.
I was sort of, well, at that age, you know, I just did what my parents expected of me and ended up in New Zealand at a business college, because that's what you did in those days. You were a nurse or a secretary.
Or a teacher.
Yes. Yeah. And I've forgotten where I was, actually, Katie.
So Fiji.
So I left it, and I was never told I was never going back.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I just made my life in New Zealand at the age of 15, 17.
Cool.
And as you do as a teenager. Excuse me. And but as I get older, I can feel this this longing, this pull to go back once before.
Really?
Yes. Before, I'm not going to say before I die, but, you know, I will die. So before I die, yes. And so that's in my radar, really, as some maybe something I will do just for 2 weeks.
Didn't know that.
And lay it to rest, really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it would have changed a great deal in those years.
Absolutely.
And somehow that sort of homesickness, it would be quite nice to go through it, you know, out the other side, really.
Could you have done that before Alchemy Artisan Perfumes? Or is it as a result, is it by creating the perfumes that has reignited your memory of Fiji? Has that increased your desire to go back?
Actually, I think I just put it aside and thought, well, it's okay, you know, it's fine. But I think it's touched something very deep in me.
Mm.
The perfume has touched something very deep in me that, you know, I'd forgotten was there.
Mm.
And I think because Fiji is exotic and everything about it is exotic, as a child, I knew that it was a paradise.
Did you?
Yes, I knew it. I just, I was just aware of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were very privileged. We had islands that we went to for our holidays, you know, and boats to go on. And so my father was a harbour master, so we had a lot of privileges, really. So it was just, it was magical itself, my upbringing. Mm. I wouldn't say necessarily emotionally, but certainly physically.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
That's a whole other interview, Rosie. We'll come back for that one.
Maybe. Maybe not.
So how did you end up in the UK? Was it via India?
It was via India, yes. I because of the a few difficulties in my childhood, I decided I needed to do a little bit of... self-exploration. So I went to India and I stayed there for 10 months and stayed in an ashram. And then my ticket took me automatically to England. So that's how I ended up here.
Ah, okay.
And when I arrived in by liner in Southampton, I remember looking at the hills and I thought, this is my home.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
This is where I'm meant to be.
How old were you?
I was 35.
Wow.
I had been here before.
Right.
But I just knew, and it has been, and I've been deeply happy here, really, and very grateful to live here.
Gosh, so you've been here for nearly 40 years.
Yes. Yes, wow. I have. Living in London most of the time.
Gosh.
So, and I've still got my accent. How did that happen?
You have still got your accent, yeah.
So I'll never be English. try as I might. I've stopped trying now. I'm just a citizen of the world.
Is it? Well, we all are, aren't we, at the end of the day. I remember when I first met you, trying to identify where the accent came from. I thought, no, it's too soft for Australian. No offence to Australians who might be listening, but it was too soft for that. And it didn't have the twang of New Zealand, but there was more in it there. But and it definitely wasn't South African, but I knew it was somewhere that I hadn't been to. That's for
sure. Yes, I think it perhaps there's some sort of colonial influence, you know, whatever that might be.
Yes. Your 10 months that you spent in the ashram in India, has that had any influence on how you've lived your life in the UK?
Yes, it certainly has. That was in the 70s, and the 70s were a bit of a mad time, so probably the less said about that, the better. But it did. It was transformational for me, really. And it changed my life to one of... being the essentially happy person that I always have been. But it reconnected me with that.
Mm.
And also it reconnected me with a sort of, what would you say, I suppose, a community of people. I was always isolated. And so I sort of joined a community within myself, but also... Mm. And now that I'm down on the southeast coast, I have really found a community which I never thought existed, really. So it's been wonderful, all of it. Really.
It's interesting that I was at a talk a couple of weeks ago, and somebody in the audience made a really interesting comment. He said research had been done that human beings are motivated by two things, conflict and collaboration. And that 9 times out of 10, collaboration wins over conflict, which I thought was really interesting and a good message for the human race, particularly where we are at the moment. But in order to be collaborative, you need to be in a community. And I think sometimes we forget the power of community and how important it is to our emotional and social well-being. It's really vital, isn't it, to feel connected.
Yes, and sometimes we don't know how to be connected. I lived in London for 35 years, and, you know, although I had friends throughout London, they were dispersed throughout the whole city. It was really hard to feel like part of a community, and I wasn't. I was quite isolated in a sense. So it is hard to know how to do that, and I'm fortunate because I'm in a town that is small enough and big enough to have that. But I think if you're living in a big city, sometimes that can be difficult.
Yeah, there's a lot of anonymity in big cities, isn't there? A
lot of
anonymity.
Exactly, which is a joy and a curse.
Yeah, absolutely. as being in a community can be as well. You know, sometimes
as long as it's not too not too small.
There is a desire actually for the isolation sometimes, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's getting the balance between the two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back to your perfumes. I had a wonderful quote recently from Napoleon, who was on
of all people
on his way back from one of his forays, sent a note to Josephine: I'll be back in 6 weeks, stop washing. Which I thought was brilliant. I mean, to us now, because we are so hygiene and clean fanatical about it, aren't we? To, you know, to the point that the slightest smell that isn't of soap actually sends us into a frenzy. You know, cleanliness is everything. That just the thought of that is I can't get my head around somebody not washing makes them more attractive. But you know, obviously it was another age, but that just goes back to the power of smell, isn't it?
Yes.
And how we've actually because we do wash and bathe, and cleanliness is key, and we bathe every day, we're almost having to go outside of ourselves to replace the pheromones that we're washing away,
yes,
which is where perfume,
yes,
and aftershave,
yes,
comes from. So, which is why, you know, and it's so interesting, is that how many perfumes and aftershaves have musk as their base, which is a pheromone. So we wash it away and then we put it on artificially.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
It is crazy, yes. And not just musk, you know, there's things like civet, you know, which is the less said about it, the better, really.
Okay. Is that something we can share with everybody, or should we just
It's from the musk glands, but it's also, how shall I put this nicely, you know, it's it has a distinct odour of urine about it.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I mean, people probably won't like to hear this, but Chanel used it in Chanel No. 5.
Wow.
So you have to be very clever about how you use it, and
absolutely,
I'm still working on it.
Well, I have to say, none of your perfumes smell of pee, so I think you're right.
Yes, that's why I'm still working on it.
So where are you taking Alchemy Artisan perfumes? What's the future?
Well, it's an interesting one, because the dynamic side of me always wants to rush ahead and promote it. But there's another part of me that has been operating during this whole process, which is a much more gentle, evolving side. And when I stay with that, that's where I have the fun. That's where I have the joy. That's where it moves naturally from one thing to another. If I force it, it doesn't work, and I'm not happy, and I don't like it. So really what I'm doing is I'm just allowing it to unfold and evolve. And I'm selling more locally, people who know me, and I'm having little meetups with people to come and smell my perfumes. And that's how I like it at the moment.
That's a really good lesson for life, actually, isn't it? About being in flow and just allowing and taking our mental hands off and just allow, like a beautiful flower, rather than forcing it in artificial environment, just allowing it to blossom in its own time. It smells sweeter and it lasts longer and it brings more joy.
Yes. Well, I think many of us women working on our own understand that, because I've forced things in the past. Some of it's been out of just sheer enthusiasm, really. But I've come to the end of the line, and literally, and I know that doesn't work. So as I've got older, I can afford to, you know, take my time and relax and enjoy it. And as you say, rightly, to allow myself to be in the flow, because that's where the joy and the pleasure is, and the passion for me, really.
Well, thank you, Rosie. We've come to the end of the 25 minutes, sadly, continue being in flow, because your friends benefit when you're in flow, and we love you for your perfumes that you've created. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie.
This has been Katie Day with Creating Ripples. Be sure to listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women over 50 are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.